I'm Aria Schwartz, and welcome to the Winsider Show, where it's all about the W. The Minnesota Lynx, the premier WNBA dynasty over the last decade plus. I'm honored and excited to be joined by the Mitchell Hansen to discuss the team from the most northern state. Welcome back to the show. Mitchell, excited to have you back. All right, let's just forget the pleasantries. You know, we're from Minnesota.
Well, let's dive right in.
Yeah, dive right in. Let's talk Lynx. I'm just going to start it off quick, easy, to the point. I'll let you, I'll probably interrupt you at times, but I'll let you briefly recap, summarize the 2023 Minnesota Lynx season.
Yeah, it was kind of an up and down season. It's a year that we've seen from this team a lot in the past, where they've started off slow and then kind of picked things up as the season went along. Obviously, the bright spot is what they were able to get out of the draft. I think they got two really talented rookies. Obviously, in Diamond Miller and Dorca Juhas in the draft last year. Dorca, I will say this, and I did say it back then, I think she's the steal of the draft. She was the steal of the draft. They're going to build off of them as well as the rest of their core moving forward. But they, you know, they had a good kind of foundation setting season. And when I say that, I mean setting up for the future. They kind of realign themselves so that they have a better vision for the future, and kind of a better vision moving forward, which has kind of been murky in the last couple of years. But they you know, they've aligned themselves now going into 2024 to you know, build off of what they know they are. They have an identity. They're going to build around the Fisa Collier. And they, you know, they put together a relatively strong season a year after missing the playoffs. It was obviously a bright spot to make it to the postseason, make it back to the postseason. They were the only team to make it into, you know, winner take all game three in the first round against Connecticut. I would argue if they had a third option in that series, they probably would have won that series. But they, you know, they had really only Kayla McBride and Nafisa Collier in that series or throughout the year, but it was specifically in that series, and that kind of hurt them in the end. But overall, it was a, like I said, it was a kind of a roller coaster year. It was a slow start and a strong end, which we've seen more often than not over the last handful of years. But ultimately, it was a good, like I said, kind of a realignment type season to take a deep dive of their roster and who they want to have moving forward. And now that some of those bigger contracts are off the books, they've aligned themselves to do just that moving forward and into 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, it's pretty wild thinking about it. I mean, like, look, I'll definitely be the first, the second, and the third person to be like, I'm so excited for this season for the Lynx, purely just based on the fact that we're not doing the same thing again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you've tried it for too many years. Let's try something new, get some new players, getting some up and coming players that need to prove it. All right. Well, this is like the third or fourth team in this segment of like going through all the teams. So the gist of it is I'll run down who we lost, who we gained this off season. And then we can kind of discuss what that means for the team. And then draft stuff and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So this year, and honestly, it might be jerky of me to say, but it's like so great to list some of these names as leaving the team, only because, again, you got to try something new eventually. Rachel Banham, Ariel Powers, Tiffany Mitchell, Natalie Achanwa, Lindsay Allen, and then I'll put an asterisk next to Jessica Shepherd and Nina Milic because, you know, look, they're not playing this year, but it's not like a goodbye forever. It's the door's half closed, probably will come back open depending on what happens next year. In free agency, they gathered the Lynx, their hunters and gatherers. They got Courtney Williams, they got Natisha Heidemann, they got Alana Smith and Ruthie Hebert. To me, like, obviously, look, Courtney Williams and Alana Smith are maybe the big name signings. I think Natisha's just as big. Like, that's a player who is adding shooting depth to this team. Has she, you know, found her footing as a overly consistent top point guard in this league? No, not yet. But she does have experience in the playoffs. She's been around enough. She's been around, for lack of a better term, hard-ass coaches. So I guess for you, which of those players that the Lynx added this season, this offseason, which do you think most impactful or is the biggest signing, the biggest move, most important move? Like, which one do you kind of hang your hat on if you're the leadership of Minnesota?
I do think I echo what you said about Natisha Heidemann. I think she's kind of I don't want to say an underrated addition, but kind of compared when you're comparing it to the other two. I do think she'll play as maybe not as big of a role as Courtney Williams, but she'll play a big role with this team of this season. I think she'll play some with Courtney Williams. But I like that pairing of those two in the backcourt. I mean, it also just solidifies that position after, you know, what, 5, 6, 7 years of trying to do so. Well, maybe, I guess, like 6 years after Lindsey Whalen retired in 2018, or 5 years. But I think that the Alana Smith move is kind of one that we might look back on at the end of the year and say, wow, that was a really good signing by the Lynx. I think she's just kind of a player that can do a little bit of everything. She, to me, to kind of compare her to somebody on the roster already or that was on the roster in 2023, I think she's a Jess Shepherd-like. She does a little bit of everything. She does stuff that wins games. Maybe doesn't, you know, wow you in the stat sheet, but she can do those little things. She can make those hustle plays. She can kind of do the things behind the scenes that make a difference and win games. And the most important thing is she has shown the ability to stay healthy, healthier than Jess Shepherd. So I think that's going to be a very valuable thing with this team because they don't have a lot of depth in the paint. And when they do have somebody that goes down in the post like Jess Shepherd did last year, you know, that lack of depth kind of, you know, it gets exposed. And that's an area of weakness with this team. So I do really think that move will be, I think Alana Smith will fit in nice with this team. And I think that's probably, to me, if I had to kind of rank them as like underrated moves or kind of one that I'm a big fan of, Alana Smith would be right up there. I ever since free agency opened, I wanted the Lynx to go after Courtney Williams because, you know, after, and then, you know, once Natasha Cloud decided what she wanted to do, I think that Courtney Williams was the best next option in my mind as far as a fit with this team. So I'm glad that move panned out, and I think she'll play a huge role in this team, and I think she could have a breakout year this year. But I, you know, I would say if I had to choose between Alana Smith and Natisha Heidemann, I would definitely say Alana Smith.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I'm on record not being the biggest fan when it first came to be. The interesting thing that I'll say about this roster that I'm very, very curious is I see a lot of starting five possibilities. And while Cheryl Reeve is one of the, if not the best coach in WNBA history, something that I have, that my pet peeve with her of recent has been her rotations. Over the past few years, even though we were working with the same group of people, sometimes that's what frustrated me. Obviously, like, I'm an onlooker, I'm a talking head, whatever. So when I look at this, that's something that I'm going to be paying attention to. That's what I'm excited for, like, the first couple weeks of the season, maybe the first half of the season, to kind of see who she settles into different. And I think, look, it's, you have a lot of players on this team that are very Swiss Army knife-esque. A Courtney Williams, an Afisa Collier, a Kayla McBride, an Alana Smith, a Bridget Carlton. Like, they have versatility on this team. Now, we were talking about this before the episode, and I think it's kind of like maybe getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. But I think it's going to be an interesting, in the past few seasons, we, like you said, we've seen a slow growth through this team. Rough start, gets it moving middle of the season, looks really good at times, and then kind of teeters off, but does that push to make the playoffs. So I guess, I don't even know if this is a question. I'm just curious, like, what do you think, like, are you envisioning it's going to be another one of those seasons, another one of those where it's going to take time? Because now we don't have necessarily the continuity that we saw in Minnesota over these past few years. How do you think that kind of translates into a start of the season?
I think it'll be kind of a learn as you go type of start, which is something we've honestly seen the last few years with figuring out that, you know, that starting group or like that, you know, what the starting lineup would look like or what the, you know, definite roles will be. you know, I really do, you know, if I could break down like the, let's say the starting five or kind of the rotation, obviously Courtney Williams is going to start at the point. You're going to have Nafisa Collier at the, probably the four. I would say that, or maybe even slide, you know, Nafisa Collier at the three, and then maybe you start Dorka Juhas and Alana Smith. Maybe you have Alana Smith coming off the bench, and, or maybe you have Dorka Juhas coming off the bench, and maybe one of those two starts at the five. I would anticipate probably at the start of the year, I kind of go back and forth with that shooting guard position. I can make a case for both, you know, Diamond Miller and Kayla McBride starting and coming off the bench. And when I say that, that's not a knock on either one of them coming off the bench. I think they would play a really large role coming off the bench. Let's say if, you know, Diamond Miller starts, I could see Kayla McBride, you know, being that first player off the bench and still playing starter type minutes, but just not getting the start. And vice versa. I could see it that both ways. And that's a good problem to have. I mean, they have, you know, 6-7 players that could start on this team, at least. And that's something they haven't had in a while. That's, you know, we've really seen in the past, they've had that, you know, obviously during the dynasty era, they had their starting five, solidified for basically, you know, 5-6 or whatever it was, maybe 4 years or whatever in a row.
Well, it was like, it was basically all seven, except the five switched up like once every, you know, what they had Taj and they had, what's her name from the U, and then they had Sill.
Yeah.
So I mean, I completely agree. I think it's going to be super interesting because like they're kind of undersized. So they're going to be running it and you have an athletic team, you have a fast team.
And that's a style we'll see them play a lot. We're going to see them run and go. And because that's what, you know, Nafisa Collier has talked about. That's what she played at UConn. That's what she wants to do. They want to push the pace. They want to run the ball. They want to play in transition. And that's something you can tell with every move that they've made in the last year or two. That's what those players fit that mold. And they fit that run and gun style of play. And I that's something the Lynx have never done. They've been very slow paced. They've played inside out. Where now they're more outside in. They want to run. They want to, you know, push the pace and stretch the floor, which is a different style that we've seen this team play. But they honestly, I think they could. Well, I want to say that they can kind of match up, or you know, they can start their lineup based on matchups. They're all kind of, like you said, they're all kind of on the smaller side anyway. But I think that it'll depend on you know, if they need a shutdown two guard. Kayla McBride's getting the start. If they, you know, if they want to, you know, try and, you know, outgun a team or outshoot a team, maybe we'll see Diamond Miller in the game, or in Kayla McBride playing heavy minutes off the bench or whatever it may be. It's an interesting thing to think about because I can make the case for like seven people to start or seven players to start in the starting five, and it'll be interesting to see. It might just be too, you know, going with the hot hand. You know, if Kayla McBride's having a hot stretch, put her in. If you have Diamond Miller that's, you know, stepping up, maybe throw her in.
Well, that's what it's good. I feel like it's going to be, maybe humbling is the wrong word, but it's going to be a very humbling season for some of these players. Cause I feel like there's one player in my mind who guarantee is starting every game that she's healthy. And that's Fee. Like, I think you can make an argument that, you know, Heidemann's going to start one game over Courtney. Alana's going to start one game here or there. Dorka's going to get in there. Diamond, like, everyone, obviously, McBride. So there's going to be such fluidity. And you know Bridget Carlton's going to start a game here or there. Like, come on. Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. I do still question their three-point shooting. I know you have Kayla McBride, so like you have your star three-point shooter. You got Natisha Heidemann. Fee's three-point shooting's getting up a little bit. Diamond Miller needs to, I hope all off-season she was working on that three. Mm-hmm. Do you think, like, elephant in the room, seventh pick in the draft, there's been some great Lynx players who have come around that spot. It's been great Lynx players who have come later and earlier. When we think about the draft, is there a player you have in mind if they could have any, like, okay, obviously Caitlin Clark's the player that they could have any player in this draft that you take, but is there somebody that do you think it's a situation of there's players in this draft that can fit the Lynx need, or do you think that it's a situation where you take the best available Do you think there's a player in mind that you'd like them to take that you don't think they'll take? Like, where? Explore the draft options with me.
I think it'll end up being the best player available and who is the best player available. Now, let's say that, you know, the draft plays out like we all think it will play out. And let's say, you know, the at pick seven, there's the likes of, let's say, Angel Reese and Alyssa Pelee that are on the board. That's what I kind of think is those two players. They'll maybe eye those two players at number seven if, you know, no players fall. Now, if Cardozo is available, I think they take her. I don't think she'll be available at seven, but if she is, you got to take her, I think.
I think especially because of the lack of size that this team has. That right. To me, and just my two cents here, I think if you're going for a big, the problem is, like, who besides her?
When those two names that I mentioned, like Angel Reese and Alyssa Pelee, with Pelee, she has that ability to help this team from deep. That's what I think is intriguing about her. She can shoot the ball. She can stretch the floor. That's why I kind of keep going back to her. But I also see Angel Reese as a nice, backup option in the paint to help with that depth in the post. She's very versatile. You can play her at a couple different positions, but she can get to the line. She can make those hustle plays. She can rebound the ball really well. She can defend. That's a lot of the characteristics that Cheryl Reeve really likes in a player. Now you take the good with the bad when it comes with maybe some of the attention and maybe unwanted attention that she brings with her. And I know that's something that, you know, this organization has not necessarily liked in the past. And I know a lot of organizations are like that, but, it's tough. I can make the case for both. And because both of them offer something that the Lynx need. And, I do really think it's about who they value most in that draft room. If it comes down to those two players are still on the board, I do think it's going to come down to one of those two. Now, if I had to choose, I'd probably go with Angel Reese, just because of all the things that I did just mention. She can do a little bit of everything. She can help this team defensively, which is big. And being able to kind of lock down, opposing post players. But I do like the idea of Pelee too, and being able to help this team from deep, because that is a weakness on this team for sure.
I'm all in on Pelee. If that's the option. Also, JC Sheldon, player. I'm gonna pull that out of left field. I haven't seen a lot of people talking about that for Minnesota. Because here's my thing: if I'm Minnesota, I'm thinking not only this season. I'm thinking futuristically. Courtney Williams is not, a spry chicken, as they say. Mm-hmm. There's time, right? She's towards the end of her career, so finding somebody in the guard, like, while we have that fix that Minnesota's been looking for so long, I don't think it would be a fool's move to look for somebody in the guard position. Just saying that. And also, I agree with everything said on Pelee. For me, when it comes to Angel Reese, I think she's had a phenomenal college career. She is a player that I look at, and I look at her as a all-time college great. I don't necessarily think that her game translates over to the W. I know this has been a conversation that's been had left, right, whatever. I've been saying this for a very long time. I see whiffs of Charlie Collier. Mm-hmm. That's what I see, is a player who was more physically mature, smarter, and had more athletic ability than a large portion of the players you're going to face in college. And I also think that a lot of her, now, I think there's differences in their game than Charlie. I think she has a better face-up game. I think she has a better drive game. But the reason I make the comparison is because I think both of them extremely benefit stat-wise on their situation. And a lot of their situation was missing easy layups and then getting their own rebound and putting it back in because of those aforementioned skill sets. So I think if she is going to succeed, I need to see from her expanding her game, expanding her shooting, because she is slightly undersized when she's going to be going up against these W players. And to me, I view it as, like, I guess I kind of view the Megan Gustafsons and the Nneka Agumakes of the world, the undersized players who are you going to fine tune your craft to be just so good other players can't beat you because you are that good, you are in the right place, you are making the perfect moves. Or are you just going to be such a workhorse professional that, you know, when you get in there, you mean business and you're going to bust your tail and produce enough that you can find a spot on a roster? I mean, Alanah Smith is a player kind of like that, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, started off in Phoenix, hopped around a little bit after that, grew, finally showed, got her shot and proved it in Chicago this past year, then gets a nice little 150 salary. Mm-hmm. So that's just my two cents, I feel like.
Well, and kind of going off of your point too, like, you know, we have to keep into account too, we have to remember that the Lynx do have Maya Hirsch overseas. Now, I don't think she'll come over this year just because she's been dealing with health issues all offseason. I think they'll probably wait another year for her. You still have Jess Shepherd that could potentially be, you know, not this year, but next year. I mean, they do have those options too. You know, that you know, do you want to bring in another young forward to add to that, you know, that group? And, you know, so maybe that is something that they look at, maybe a guard. Another thing too, you know, the reason why I think they might go post or kind of that forward spot, if they do, you know, go after another name like Cecilia Zandalasini, who's been with the Lynx team in the past, there's been rumors floated around that she would like to come over if the Lynx would be interested as well at some point this year. So she would obviously help the team offensively and with her ability to shoot from deep. It's also another guard to add to that group. So, I mean, they have plenty of options, but you can make, I think, a case for both sides. So that's why I ultimately think they're going to go best player available and whoever they have highest on their board when they when their pick comes around at number seven.
I like when we talk Lynx because we can completely disagree all the time, but then actually, like, fundamentally, Corley, agree.
It's very Minnesotan of us.
Yeah, I know. You go first at the stop sign. No, you go first. A little Minnesota standoff. Yeah. Okay, so this is my, like, almost my favorite part of doing these podcasts. Talk to me about, like, hopes and dreams, right? Like, if you're looking back, like, what are you looking for out of this season from this team?
I'm looking for, now if we go just team general at the end of the year, I'm looking for them to at least make it to the second round of the playoffs. Which I think is a doable, you know, if they, you know, depending on what seed they get and how everything plays out, obviously, you know, in the standings, I think that's something that they can do just because of that depth and that experience that they do have on the roster. They're not a young team anymore. You know, they still have youth. They still have plenty of positions that are kind of inexperienced and young. But they do have that experience with some of the other veterans and kind of that core group, and as well as the additions that they brought in this offseason. Now, overall as a team, you know, I think that the point guard addressing that spot will increase the talent and just increase the performance of the overall team. I think it'll help Nafisa Collier a lot. I think it'll open things up for Kale McBride a lot. Obviously, it'll help the players in the paint, and it offers depth at that position and kind of a, I guess you could say, just a concrete option at that position, which they haven't had in a while, and that goes a long way. And I one thing that I will say about this team is what fans can expect out of this team this year is they're going to be an energetic and fiery team, and that's not something that we've necessarily seen since maybe the dynasty era when you had you know, Lindsey Whalen and Simone Augustus and Maya Moore and Sylvia Fowles kind of screaming up and down the court and Rebecca Brunson. I mean, you could say all five of them.
It's funny. I kept, like, I don't want anyone to be offended by this. I kept thinking about, like, what the analogy, right? Because, like, every team has a vibe to it, mm-hmm. right? And, like, Vegas is, like, the cool kids, right? And then you got LA. I guess they were kind of the surfers. And I was always, like, trying to describe who the Lynx were. And for the past few years, it's been, like, that super innocent table at the cafe. That's what it was, the cafeteria. Like, everyone, how they all click up. It was, like, mm-hmm. that super innocent, like, cared about getting good grades. Probably were in some theater, maybe in marching band, and wholesome, really nice, friendly, great people, but not, like, no bark, no bite, no trash talk, no smack talk. Like, I'm excited for what Courtney Williams is going to do to certain players on this team, mm-hmm. just by the fact of her being herself. Like she just turns people into dogs.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you look at, let's say they do add the likes of Angel Reese to this team in the draft. I mean, that adds a lot of character, adds a lot of energy, adds a lot of emotion to this team, even outside of Courtney Williams. But I mean, Natisha Heidemann, Courtney Williams, they both have shown that ability to be those fiery players. Cale McBride obviously has that ability. Mm-hmm. But you look at other players, like to your point, you know, Nafisa Collier has always been that, you know, that quiet. I'd almost compare her to like, not to, you know, jump into the NBA, but maybe like a Kawhi Leonard. Like she's just maybe just like a kind of a monotone, like just kind of quiet person. She does show that ability to, you know, show emotion, but you don't often see that from her. Same thing with Diamond Miller. You know, they've in Dorka Juhas is the exact same way, but they all just are kind of even keel, quiet, go about their business and don't do anything extracurricular or anything outside of what they're doing on the court. But that's not the case anymore. And I do think that Courtney Williams is going to bring a lot of that out just herself. And I think that's something that Cheryl Reeve absolutely loves. And I think it'll be a very different team, even morale-wise or just kind of emotion-wise that we've seen in the past few years for sure.
Well, you kind of already answered my next question, which was expectations. I'm very intrigued. I think this is going to be like, at least it's something new. It's something unexpected. And let me be abundantly clear. When I was saying I don't think Minnesota should take Angel Reese or Angel Reese's, you know, WNBA prospects, that has nothing to do with her personality or anything like that. I think her personality would be amazing. I would love to like her game more so because of how much I love her personality. I agree. I think adding that to this team might be, even if she's not playing a ton of minutes, might be such an impactful aspect that it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I just want to see more shooting. Like this, if this team's going to be running and gunning, I understand, but like, I want to just see some more pull-ups because I can't watch another Diamond Miller, you know, slow motion Euro get blocked in the pros again. It was too much of that. I do like the Kiana Taylor trailer signing, the Taylor Soul signing, Liz Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was there? There's someone else that they signed.
Jamie.
Yes. You were talking about Zandalasini, Chechi. Like that would be an interesting one. Obviously, big fan. I've been following what she's been doing overseas over the past, what it feels like, 6-5 years since mm-hmm. Since we last saw her. That would be pretty cool.
18 or 19, one of the two.
Hey, she won a ring, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was. She joined that 2017 team late.
Yes. All right. Well, any final thoughts on the Minnesota Lynx for the 20? Like, do you expect a draft pick and then like let's move on to training camp, or are you expecting any other moves, or is this roster pretty much set?
I think it's pretty much set. I think they're pretty solidified leading up to the draft, and I think it'll be the same after the draft. And part of that, I mean, just looking at the roster and the roster breakdown, I think they're pretty much, like I said, set. But I also hearing what you know, Cheryl Reeve has said, you know, publicly, you know, in TV appearances and whatever it may be this offseason, she has said, I don't know how many times, I can't wait for training camp. I can't wait for training camp to get started. And to me, that means she's, you know, she's ready for this team to get together. And I don't think they're going to be adding anybody else outside of maybe those names that I mentioned before. Maybe Chechi comes over. That won't be obviously until, you know, in season. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting roster. I think this is probably, you know, maybe going into 2024, maybe the most anticipated I am, or kind of excited I am to see how a team plays out and how things look at the start of the year. Not saying I haven't been at the start of other years, but it's just, it hasn't been maybe as, exciting as it is going into this year, just to see how those pieces mesh, see what they're able to do together, and, just kind of see what they're able to accomplish. Because I know, as our all 12 WNBA teams, but their hopes are high to build off of last year and continue to build on that moving forward and take the next step this year. So it'll be interesting to watch.
I got one more question for you. Before I do that, I realized early on in the episode, I just made a comment and just went on a crazy tangent. Something I want to leave the fans with to think about as we head into this season, because that's kind of the mindset that I have. And I think you kind of have a similar mindset. So, well, now it doesn't matter because you have to agree. but when going into seasons, into training camps, I always kind of break the league down into different tiers. Like, who is a guaranteed, in my mind, playoff team and who is not? And then we were talking about this before we got on. In our mind, New York's a playoff team. Mm-hmm. In our mind, Vegas is a playoff team. And you kind of, so you like look at the teams that are playoff teams for sure. Seattle, cool. Yeah, Phoenix, right? And then you kind of go to those teams like, okay, who's in your mind going into the season a lottery team? Chicago, okay, cool. Washington, okay, cool. LA, okay, cool. And then you go, okay, well, there's only one more. So then you kind of start going, okay, could you convince me Indiana's still not making the playoffs? Could you convince me that Minnesota isn't going to make the playoffs? Could you convince me that Dallas has a fall off or Atlanta doesn't grow as much as we would think they did, or Connecticut has a crazy fall off? So like, that's kind of the mindset that I want people to start looking kind of, you know, in that perspective, because I think it's a fun little exercise. And my final question for you before we log off, unless you wanted to say something about that.
No, I was just going to say, like, we kind of talked about this a little bit before we jumped on, but there's going to be a good team that misses the playoffs this year. There's going to be a playoff team that misses the playoffs this year. And, you know, I think that, you know, most years we normally see that 6, 7, 8 spot or that range. There's kind of a tight finish down the stretch, but I think maybe this year more than most years, it's going to be very tight. It's going to be very close because there are, like you said, there are some talented teams that could fill 4 through 9. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. There's the top teams, there's those bottom teams, and then there's kind of everybody in between. And like I said, there's going to be a good team that does miss the playoffs this year, and which is unfortunate, but that's the way it goes.
But, and honestly, like, that's how it should be, kind of, right? Oh, yeah. Like, there should be that competition. There should be, and especially in a league where, you know, so much of the league makes the playoffs, there needs to be that competition. I completely agree with you. And honestly, I'm very excited for those final weeks because I think, at least in my mind, there's going to be a very close finish and it's going to be very exciting to see which team it is because, like you said, a good team is going to miss out. It's not in years past. It's been like, okay, yeah, like this team made the playoffs, but like you could have subbed them out for one of the other teams. And blah, blah. Like now it's gonna be like, oh, this team made the playoffs because they had a hard fought battle, blah, blah, blah. I would love once we had that 13th team and don't have a 14th, I would love for us to do like a play in game for that 8th seed between whatever it is. I still do not understand how any of that works. It's too confusing. Every year, I feel like one of my friends who follows the men's league is like, my team is in the play-in. And then like I see on the news they lost and they're like, but if we win the next game we're in, I'm like, well, how is that a play-in? Whatever. I don't understand it. Hopefully the W won't grow too fast that I won't understand things. A final question for you before we log off is, who's your GOAT?
Rachel Galligan.